rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a righteous heir. I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
My father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing that I'm his son.
I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
I've a guardian angel watching me. He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father up in heaven above, I breathe such a simple prayer.
Not according to the world standards do we possess riches, but we're rich in things that money can't even buy. Aren't you glad about it tonight? You may be as poor as a church house mouse, but if you've got Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart, you don't realize how wealthy you are, because you got something the world can't buy. You got something that the world didn't give you, and it sure can't take it away. You better sing that third verse one more time, buddy.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sin. He took me in.
Oh, yes, he did.
He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
I'm rich in faith, hope, and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to my mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Isn't he great tonight? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he the best friends you ever had? Aren't you glad he's your healer? Aren't you glad he's your savior? Aren't you glad he's delivered you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them this. Let's have church here tonight. Praise the Lord. Good to see all of you tonight, guys. You're looking well. Praise the Lord. Play some more of that, Brother Harry. Give me that third verse one more time and give me a good hallelujah on the end of it, will you? Praise the Lord.
God bless you, brother. Brother Jonathan, God bless you. Hey, buddy. God bless you. Appreciate you. God bless you. Hey, good to see you. Chief, final. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Bless you. God bless you. Boys, God bless you. Praise the Lord.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sins.
Oh, yes, he did.
He took me in.
Aren't you glad that he did?
He's building me a mansion beyond.
Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in church tonight? How many of you enjoyed the services here over the weekend? Was it outstanding? Was the word of the Lord truly outstanding? Praise the Lord. I know you're looking forward to what the Lord would have for us tonight. I am so glad that I look forward to coming to the house of God. Are you glad you got that desire in you? Praise the Lord. What a privileged people we are. Let's look at our prayer request. I'll let you be seated for a few minutes. Let me make this announcement first thing. The youth banquet, please don't forget that. That's this coming Friday night at 6 p.m. in the fellowship hall. So if you have made preparations to be there, it's going to be going on at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall this coming Friday evening. So remember that. This was sent to the library. A sister called to request prayer for something that she's been battling for now for a long period of time. She is asking for strength, encouragement, and overcoming power to defeat the enemy and trust in God's word. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Also, this was sent to the library. Please remember Sister Boone in prayer. She's scheduled for an MRI on Thursday on her knee to determine if she needs surgery. So we certainly want to pray for Sister Boone, just a faithful, faithful servant of the Lord. And we love her. Just pray that the Lord would help her. Sister Irene Pierce says to please pray for a good friend of my husband's. His name is Brian Austin. He has had one leg amputated, and now it looks like the other one will have to be taken also. So we will remember that need tonight. Brother Wes Willis' father had a stroke. Brother Wes is asking for prayer. I believe that happened just in the last little while. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Wes's father and that family. The Lord would just be with them. Prayer request for Jim and Jane Stoltz, also for a Deary and Amber Murphy and family, for special needs. The Lord knows all about that request, so we just committed unto the Lord. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember a very dear friend of mine who is having a difficult time right now. She's in desperate need of God's help, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Michelle Swafford says that her niece, Penelope Luna, made it through her kidney surgery today. She is doing good. Continue to pray for her recovery. Thank everyone for your prayer. So we praise the Lord for that good report for that little child. Amen. This has got to have a name attached, but the Lord certainly knows the need. I'm in desperate need of a job. I've been searching for quite some time. I really need God to intervene in my situation. I believe He will put me where I'm supposed to go. I believe He will move for me. So we just believe, with ever who this is, we believe that the Lord would, we know He's more than able. And if that's that request, we just pray that the Lord will work out every detail and may they find employment. Curtis Street, here's a prayer request that he would find work as well. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Warren Arendt sends this in for Brandon. He has anger. He has done two tours in Iraq. Needs God's peace.
needs the Lord to heal his heart. That's the son of one of my friends. So let's pray for that soldier, that the Lord would just be mindful of him and let these things be healed in his life. Sister Shirley Lusser says, please remember my friend who is having problems with her heart. She is a believer, and ask our church to have prayer for her. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Gene Terrell sends this in. Jane and I have a need. Please pray for us. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. God is certainly able to meet that need also. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand, if you will. We're just going to sing a little chorus here before we pray. We believe that God is still in the prayer answering business. You know, it's like Brother Donnie preached over the weekend. Now, Jesus is not here in his corporal body, but he's here in body form in you and me. You believe that with all your heart? You believe he's still in the earth today doing a work? I believe that with all of my heart. And he's got people that's believing his word and trusting his word. And he loves to hear them call his name in prayer. We're going to do that tonight on behalf of all these people, right? Let's sing a little chorus. We're going to keep pressing on. Is that in your DNA tonight to keep on pressing on? Look at somebody and say, let's just press on. We're gonna keep pressing on.
Satan tries to stop me,
oh, yes, he does.
Turn me aside. Say no need for me to go on, no need to try.
Well,
even if there was a rapture, you'll never make it in. I just say, Satan, I'll prove you a liar again.
Oh,
I gotta keep pressing. Satan, watch me prove you a liar again.
Well,
I gotta keep pressing on.
You've gotta keep pressing on.
Little bride, keep pressing on.
We're gonna keep pressing on.
Pressing on. How you calling up my Lord?
Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Skip, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Let's invite his presence into this building tonight. I already believe he's here. Well, let's make him feel welcome tonight. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're certainly grateful to be here tonight, Lord. It's the highlight of our week, and we thank you for the opportunity to come. You see all the requests, Lord, many serious, many among us who are in great need. And the enemy is certainly strong in this hour, but we know you're strong, Lord. You're stronger, Lord. We ask you to be with each request,
yes,
each one, Lord, that's home and sick and not able to be here. And all of our loved ones who know the truth, but something just holding them, Lord.
Yes.
We pray you do let them go. It somehow move on their hearts that make them willing to come in. And we pray for each of the sick and afflicted among us. And in the preaching of the word, may it loose us tonight, Lord, and help us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Skip. God bless you, ushers. If you'll come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, I pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a little chorus tonight, a little song, Ashley. 10,000 years, we'll just be getting started. Do you believe that with all your heart? You're going to a place you don't have to worry about getting old. You don't have to worry about getting gray-headed, bald-headed, nor toothless. That's a great place to get to go to, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord tonight. Give me one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. 10,000 years will just be started.
We just
and the victory won.
Oh, sweet victory won.
10,000 years.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And we've just begun.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for participating tonight, Brother John. Come. Amen. We appreciate you. You can be seated tonight. Ever how y'all have it arranged tonight, Brother John? Y'all going to do your song for us tonight too? Pay attention, Brother John. Y'all going to do your song tonight? Okay, good. Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing tonight.
I want to be more like Christ. Well, when he spoke the truth, the world responded with hate, with lies, with mocking. And Christ responded with, "Father, forgive them." What a standard to put before a people and say, "You do that as well." It seems like too much sometimes. But you know, we can't do it ourselves. The Holy Spirit in you has to do it. I'm going to sing one that my mom wrote some years ago. It's called "Father, Forgive." Somebody told a lie about you, said you did something you did not do. Somebody made others lose trust in you, made you so bitter, and made you so blue. Somebody spoke to you harsh and bluntly. They think you're not what you ought to be. Somebody feels you have done them great wrong, caused you to cry and feel all alone. What if they nailed your flesh to a tree, scourged you and mocked you mercilessly? Thorns on your brow, spear in your side, hanging in shame alone to die. All this and more they did to my Lord. Still he could pray, still he could say, "Father, forgive." Somebody waits in the dark all alone, longing for love, needing a home. Somebody cries out desperately, "Lord, you know that somebody's me." Here at your feet, Lord, I kneel to pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today. Take all the hate of this world out of me. I want a heart that forgives lovingly. For somebody nailed your flesh to a tree, scourged you and mocked you mercilessly. Thorns on your brow, spear in your side, hanging in shame Now I can pray. Now I can say, Father,
Brother Louis asked us to do this song again last week, and when he said, come on, Brother John, I thought he was talking to me this time.
Amen. Appreciate our specials tonight. That was pretty, wasn't it? Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. It's time to go on into the service. How many of you going to pray for your pastor tonight? You going to pull on the gift of God? We're going to have church here tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing a little chorus. I believe every one of us can sing it and be telling nothing but the truth. Mercy has rewrote my life. Are you glad for the mercy of the Lord? Mercy has rewrote my life. Oh, yes, mercy rewrote my life. I should have fallen. Present to you my favorite pastor in the whole world. And yours too.
Since you've only got one, you could say that. Just kidding. Let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 14 tonight. And y'all are my favorite sheep. James chapter 5, verse 14. Of course, the problem is I get sheep all over the world. I just don't see their faces. From Africa and England and Europe. And I get emails from them. And it's amazing because they consider this their home church. Let's read together. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. You think prayer is not powerful? It'll not only heal you, it'll forgive you if you've done something wrong. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You're talking about the heart of a loving father. Amen. That he wants his children to be healed. Amen. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Now listen to this. 1952, Brother Ben says, we realize that prayer changes things. Prayer changes a sinner to a Christian. Prayer changes a sinner. Prayer. Prayer. Prayer changes a Christian. So here's a sinner, and prayer changes that sinner to a Christian. Oh, thank God. Prayer changes a sick man into a well man. How many knows that by experience? Prayer changes a sinner to a Christian. Prayer changes a sick man into a well man. I want to speak to you tonight on the power of prayer. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, the ability that you've given to us as your children, the language of our souls to be able to speak to you. Lord, we ask you tonight for your help and your blessings on the word, your blessings on the service. Father, I petition you and ask you that you would help me to get out of the way. You see that I've studied and I've tried to apply myself and do everything that humanly that I know to be able to prepare something that'll help the people. But Lord, I need you now to come and anoint me. But Lord, it'll only go so far if I'm the only one in the building that's anointed. So anoint the people to pull. Anoint them, Lord. Help them to see they have a great part to play in how this service will go. You see our needs, that they are many, but yet, Lord, we want to look at them tonight as opportunities of faith by which you can move and display your power in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Remember, prayer isn't bringing a wish list to God. I think sometimes we do our children a discredit if we teach them only to ask God for things, and we don't teach them the important facts that prayer is communion. Prayer is fellowship. Prayer is intimate time with the Lord. And it's not just gimme, 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 gimme. And we, as adults in our responsibility to convey to them, don't just go to God and ask Him for something all the time, but tell Him how much you love Him. Thank Him for the things that He's already done. Convey to Him how you feel about Him instead of just, Lord, I want this, and Lord, I want that, and Lord, I want something else. Because you realize it conveys to them the wrong idea. God's like J.C. Penney. God's like a, you know, whatever more that you place your order. That's not the way God is at all. Watch this. Brother Brim says, the Christian doesn't realize what a force he has when he kneels on his knees before Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't realize what power that is. If the people could only realize that that is given right into them, anything you ask for will be given if you can appropriate the faith to believe it. Now remember, it's not just prayer alone. Prayer is not a magic incantation of something that you say, abracadabra, but it must be anointed with appropriate faith. So we can ask and ask and ask and ask. And because we're asking don't mean that we will get it unless we have the appropriate faith to be able to go with what we're asking for. Now, you know, if you've been serving God very long, you know that we can ask for things, and many times we've asked for things, but we've asked for them without the appropriated faith, and that's the reason we didn't get it. Now, we mentally, psychologically, through a conception of the Logos, I know you're my healer, I know this, I know that, I know that. And we ask with a mental face, and we might have asked over and over again, and that it never happened. And then there's other times when we go to pray, it just seems like it's there as soon as you pray. It drops down in your heart, you don't know where it come from. It come and hit you and left, and you think, Lord, have mercy, it's mine. It's mine. How many's been there? It's mine. And there's other times you try your best to duplicate that and you can't do it to save your life. Now you know what happened? It was given to you. It was given to you by the Spirit of God. He allocated the amount of faith that you needed. But you know what, friends? That is not controlled by us. Thank God it's not.
Now watch this. Again, he says, what a power and a privilege has been given to the church of the living God when you fall to your knees in prayer. Even the devils tremble. You got to be kidding me. You mean prayer will actually cause devils to tremble? Do you understand there are very few things that demons are afraid of? Light is one of them. Exposure is another. And a child of God that knows the power of prayer is another. Now, not our shouting, not our running, not our speaking in tongues, and all that is good. But can you imagine a saint of God? Now, this is not just for godly men, but this is godly women, godly young people. But for a saint of God that knows the power of prayer that has been given to them, that God has given something to them that they are not worthy of, something they did not buy, but God gave them, and they know their position. Their confidence is not in their flesh, but their confidence is in what God has done for them, and they've got faith to believe that He'll answer their prayers. And when they get down on their knees to pray, demons actually tremble. Now, as a mortal, there's probably not one of us in this building, including me, that could cause demons to tremble in our own strength and just in our ability to quote the word alone. But can you imagine a saint of God that knows the power of prayer and they have confidence in what God's done for them, and demons will tremble? My goodness, think of it, saints. What a power and a privilege has been given to the church of the living God. When you fall to your knees in prayer, even the devils tremble. To the weakest of them. Now, can you think in your mind, the weakest of Christians, say one that maybe is not the most greatest victorious Christian. Maybe not the Christian that everybody looks and says, oh my, there's a real strong Christian. That, you know, that's not even the one. Maybe it's a very strong Christian, and they're strong in the word, and they're strong in their perception of revelation, but they may not be the very one that demons will tremble when they get down to pray. Because maybe they're great in quoting the word, and they're great in historical facts, and they're great remembering what Brother Branham said, but they don't have that much confidence when they get down to pray. Wouldn't it be something for a weaker Christian that would not know near as much about the word, would not be able to really lead anybody to Christ? Maybe they've never won a Baptist or a Methodist or a Church of God or whatever more, but yet when they get down to pray, demons tremble. Because they have confidence. They may not have confidence in their ability to testify. They may not have confidence in their ability to explain doctrine, but they do have confidence when they pray. And when they get down to pray, demons say, oh Lord, here they come. Oh no, here they come. Why? Because they know who they are. Oh, thank God. Now listen, at another reason why. That we as the people of God need to pray and understand the power of prayer and what it does. Watch this, in Healing of Jairus' Daughter, he said, if Jesus had to spend much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in Him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? Now listen, this is not now petitioning God. God, I want, God, I want, God, I want. But now this is an avenue of prayer for reflecting fellowship. And in that time, there's nothing like being in prayer with God for the strengthening of fellowship. Now, here is the Lord Jesus, the Immaculate Conceived Son of God. He is now the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And a woman asked Brother Branham one time, Brother Branham, why if God was in Jesus and the fullness of the Godhead was in Him? And he said, why? She's asking him this question. How did he, when he prayed, how did he pray to himself? He said, well, sister, it's like this. He prayed the prayer and he answered his own prayer. I thought that was pretty cool. So he prayed the prayer and he answered his own prayer. So here is Jesus now, in order to stay in fellowship with the fullness of the Godhead bodily that was in him. But remember, the human part was a man. So his fellowship is going to be exactly the same way as you and I, or he cannot be the right kind of high priest. So because the fullness of the Godhead bodily was in him, it did not change the relationship or the fellowship basis by which it would be for every other son or daughter of God after Pentecost. So in order to maintain fellowship, how was that? It was by spending time in prayer with him. So spending time with Peter or spending time with James or John would not keep Jesus in close contact with God the Father. And the saints said, spending fellowship with your wife, spending time with brothers and sisters of the church will not keep you in close fellowship with God. In order to have that with God, now don't misunderstand me, even listening to tapes will not give you that close fellowship with God. Now come on, you might as well say amen. Sitting down, reading your Bible, coming to church, doing many other religious things. If the Lord Jesus had to spend time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him, don't you think he would have done the appropriate thing? He would have done the right thing, the best thing. He had the Word. He could have read the Word. He had the Torah. He had the Mishnah. He had all the oracles of the law up to that time. So if that was the appropriate thing, you'd have found him reading and reading and reading and more reading. But what did he do more than read? What did the Bible mention that Jesus done more than reading the word? Praying. The Bible mentions that Jesus read the word, but it doesn't mention it near as much as it mentioned that he went to pray, and he went to pray, and he went to pray, as was his custom. Why? Because reading the word alone is not that intimate something. Why? You are reading a book, even though it is the Bible, but it is still a letter that needs to be quickened. But if you ever really learn how to pray, you're not praying to a book, you're praying to a person. So when you learn how to pray to God, then here's the advantage of what God wants us to have, in that we are not praying to a book or not praying to a tape which cannot talk back, but we are praying to a person, the Lord God himself. And then when we do that, we learn, as we become more mature in prayer, that we learn we shouldn't do all the talking, that we should pray and we should give him a chance to say something, and we should give him time to love us back instead of us, God, I want. God, I want. God, I want. God, you see this. God, you see that. Worship him and praise him. And we'll get into it, Lord willing, maybe next week, of the model prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. But really, it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. But when we look at the things that Jesus said, whenever he told us how to pray, there's definite ways by which to be approach God. And 9 different things that Jesus told us, and 7 different petitions that he set forth in the prayer. In order for us to approach God, and not just coming, I want, but fellowship and worship and adoration and declaring the will of God. So it's more than just saying, well, God, my light bill, and God, my electric's really high this month, and this and that and other. All friends, we miss so much when we just make God like that. So you're the Lord Jesus, you think, my, what more would he need? He needed prayer in order to keep the sonship in that harmony with the Father which was living in him. How much closer could it be? Don't misunderstand me now. His sonship and the fatherhood of Father God, it was no closer than it is in you. It's exactly the same way. I've told you years ago, and you're going to realize it before we go on the rapture. One day you're going to realize his experience with God and who he was is not near as much different from you as you're thinking that it is. You imagine, here he is, the Son of God, which was the body, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in his soul. So you mean, being that close, he still needed to fellowship, still needed to fellowship. He still needed to pray. Oh my. If Jesus had to spend so much time in prayer to stay in fellowship with the Spirit that was in him, how much more do you and I have to spend in prayer? Much time in prayer. If you only knew what time in prayer meant. Sometimes when you're in prayer, God changes the complete destination of things that's going to happen. The complete destination of things that are going to happen. Now think of this. Things are going to happen, and it seems they're running a course in a certain way. And by tomorrow, this will set the chain of events. And by the next day, it'll move along to this stage. And the next day, to that stage. By Saturday, it'll be brought to pass. But you in prayer, me in prayer, has the ability to change the course of things that are already in their cycle. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Already in their cycle to happen, but in prayer, the Spirit of God can change the destination of things. My, the complete destination of different things that's going to happen. Do you believe that? Might be something fixing to happen, and your prayer could change the whole situation. Oh, you said, but Brother Donnie, I may not even know it all. You don't have to know it all. You just get down to pray, or you wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning and God puts Brother Bobby Hayden on your heart and you say, Lord, I don't know what it is. Dear God, I pray you'd move for my brother, Lord Jesus. May your presence come and move for him. You pray for him 5, 10, 15 minutes and you go back to sleep like a baby. You may not never know. You may never know that God done something to stop an automobile accident or a course of something that was laying before him. Oh my, if we could only realize the power that lays in prayer. Oh, you say, why don't God do it himself? Because he wants to work with you. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus looking upon the harvest and he said, the fields are white for harvest. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field. He is the Lord of the harvest and he knows there needs to be laborers into the field. But he says, I want you to ask me to do what I know needs to be done. But because we are buddies, we are partners together, I want you to ask me. I want you to petition me. I want you to pray and I'll answer your prayer and I'll blend it all into my will. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Let's look in Job chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job has. Verse 8. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. God's kind of hung up on this kick now of my servant Job. He's going to say it over and over and over again. When God gets on a kick, he's on one. And if God wants to call you his servant, his son, his daughter, it don't matter the difference how many devils it makes mad. The madder they make them, the more he says it. Now watch, here are Job's friends. They have said great discouraging things to him. They have belittled him. They have unchristianized him, as we'd say today. They have accused him of sin. Now this, of course, is after chapter 41 when God has appeared to Job in the first 6 verses of chapter 42. And God has revealed himself to Job. And now Job is fixing to come out of this great trial. But there are a few final steps that must happen before God will finish this trial for Job. It's amazing how God looks at things. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. Now notice this. Go to my servant Job. Now in doing this, they are making the acknowledgement of Job's superiority over them. Now these are good men. They are not heathens. They are not infidels. But they had accused Job falsely. And Job had a position that was given to him by God. Amen. Now God is telling these good men, if you want to repent, I'll tell you what you're going to do. I want you to take 7 of this and 7 of that. And I want you to go over to my servant Job's house. And now I want you to offer for yourselves a sacrifice, but it will be by and by aided by Job. He will tell you how to do it. Job's the prophet of the day, of course. They were to take the offering, but Job is going to be the priest. And God said, I will not receive your sacrifice unless Job prays for you. Now watch this. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. and my servant Job. Oh, you imagine them sinner, my servant Job, my servant Job, my servant Job. You better love my servant Job. A lot of folks are getting tired of hearing us talking about God's prophet, God's prophet. I love God's prophet myself. I thank God for His servant. I thank God for His servant. You can only serve God on earth as God sent servants that sent on earth interprets God's word to you. Spoken words, original seed, page 115. Now watch this. And my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept. You mean God won't accept Eliphaz? God will not accept those other two. God said, I will not hear you. Job is my man. Isn't it amazing? Job, through this great trial, had longed for a mediator to put his hands on a holy God and an unclean man. He wanted a mediator. He cried for a mediator. He longed for a mediator. And now God's making Job the mediator. Glory to God! Hallelujah! Job had longed. Don't you see the trial had brought Job to where he needed to be? Thank you, Jesus. He is now going to become a mediator for his friends, even though they didn't ask for one. Now he asked and he asked and he asked and he asked and he waited. They didn't ask for one, but God in his grace was going to give them one. And it was a prophet. Praise the Lord. Now notice what God says about this man, Job. In verse 8, my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. And if you look in the center reference of many of your Bibles in the margin there, you will find it says his face or his person. Job was the shewbread of this day. God said, I will accept Job's face. What kind of man was this? That he could walk right up in the presence of God and God would look at his face and say, I will accept that man. His face was his person. Now God said, oh my, him or his face will I accept. So the Hebrew word face is used to denote the person or the man. So the meaning is that Job was so holy and so upright that God would accept his prayers. You mean this man that thought God didn't love him? This man that felt like God didn't even know his address? This man that felt like, he cursed the day I was born. Cursed the day they said a man child was born. I would to God my mother would have lost me. I would to God I'd never seen the daylight. And this is what God says about that man. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you understand, friend? With what kind of a person you are from your soul, trials has nothing to do with that. The caliber of people that you are from your soul, the valleys that you get down and you get so low and you feel like God don't love you, that don't change who you are, because when you come out of that trial, you'll still be the seed you was before you went in it. God understands how we are as humans. He understands how we get low. He understands how we get despondent, but he also understands the power of that seed. Verse 9, so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. Smart men. Good thing they didn't get on YouTube and go to making a video against old Job. Huh? Good thing they didn't start up a website and try to find out all of Job's faults. Now, they sure had a list of them that they could have found out, didn't they? They had a lot of things that Job had said in these prior chapters here that could certainly throw up a lot of so-called mistakes. They could throw up a lot of Job's quotes and a lot of Job's unbelief. Come on, Happy Valley. All that had to done was go back, you know, and start back. Well, Job said this, and Job said that, and Job said that, and Job said that. Man alive, that had a bunch of links on their website, wouldn't it? They said, how in the world can you follow a prophet of God that said this and that and the other? Easy. You lose your mind. You lose your old carnal mind. And you don't worry about a PhD or an LLD or being smart and sophisticated. You know what? Faith don't need an education. Faith goes by revelation, not education. At least these old boys had enough sense to know which way to go. Now watch, they did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted. Accepted Job. So how was that? Fire came down from heaven. Remember, this is the oldest book of the Bible. So this is not too awful many years, not that many hundreds of years since God had done this to Abel. So they bring their sacrifices, their bullock, and here is their priest, their mediator. The man they had run down, talked about, criticized, lied on. Yet the Bible calls them his friends. I've got a few like that myself. Woo! Boy, boy. So the Lord accepted Job's face. These men could have walked up before them sacrificing, even though the sacrifice was right and the sacrifice was holy, and even though the altar was right, God would not have accepted it and sent the pillar of fire down in Houston, Texas. Unless it was God's man. So when Job walked up and God looks, sees Job's face, God says, oh, that smells so good. But God's eyes and his nose are synchronized to this one man. Them animals would have smelt the same if Bildad would have offered them, but it's the wrong face. So the eyes and the nose wouldn't have matched. Now watch what's going on here. Now you imagine Job. He's going through this terrible trial. Nobody loves him. God don't love him. His wife turned away from him. His servants left him. All the kings of the east and the different people come to seek counsel of him. And during this time, nobody would have nothing to do with him. He stank. His body had a bad odor. Lost his wealth. Lost so much around him. And all these men come around. They sit there and they look at him. And they don't say a word for days. And then when they do, man, they lie down on him. I mean, they go to saying all kinds of things and all kinds of imagination and all sort of things. And now he's out of sorts. So as far as a human, he's got a right to kind of hold a grudge. Watch this, friends. You're talking about amazing to me. Look in verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job no it can't be the Lord turned it when he prayed for his but wouldn't you and I call these guys enemies? We'd never let them in our house again. We call them serpent seed, devil, Pharaoh, Judas, whatever name we can, you know, find out. The lowest degrading name that we can find, that's what we call them. But the Bible calls them his friends. Well, praise the Lord. We don't like friends that disagree with us. Most of us like friends. That's right. That's right. That's right. But here God is waiting for one thing. Don't you understand why? God is fixing to give mercy to this man in such abundance. But it's hinged on one simple thing. I will give you mercy. But first I want to see, are you merciful? Job, you need my mercy. You need my blessing. You need my abundance. But I want to see if you are merciful. Well, he had suffered so much unkindness. You imagine the words that they would say, it would just tear him. He's already down anyway. And you know how a lot of them are down. The least little thing just cuts us to pieces. And when you're already down and friends say things that just down you even more, man, they crush you down the dirt. And you think, man, with friends like that, who in the world needs enemies? So, I mean, they just say all these things and they're harsh and they're cold and they're cruel. And God didn't take up for what they said. No, they were totally wrong. But God wants to see His servant. You mean the last phase of this trial? I wonder, friends, I wonder sometimes why when we come to the end of trials and we're almost ready to come out and God may let somebody cross your path that said something to you and hurt your feelings, and the last terminating point of that trial will be you being merciful to them and God will turn your own captivity. But what if you're not merciful to them? And you just added another 3 weeks or 3 months to your trial. Yourself. You did. Not God, not the devil. But you did. Because you proved yourself unworthy of mercy. Because you wouldn't be merciful. Woo, my. You wanted mercy because you'd borrowed $2,000 from a man and couldn't pay him back. But you were ready to hang the guy that borrowed 20 from you that wouldn't pay you back. Jesus gave us the parable, remember? Now notice how God looks then at the power of prayer. This man has such favor with God that God will accept him and him only. But look how it's tied to compassion and forgiveness. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. They criticized him. They run him down. They falsely accused him. But you imagine from his heart as he walks up now before their bullocks and their rams. And he walks up there and presents his face. He's not proud. He's not arrogant. Because God said, he's my servant. He's my servant. He's my servant. I'll only hear him. I'll only hear him. But you imagine all this made him so humbled that he just walked up with his head down. Oh God, who am I that you would hear me? Who am I that I would be a mediator? Not too many months ago, I was looking for one myself. And you imagine how Papa, when he sat there with the Shekinah around him, it was the seraphims, the cherubims, the angels. Him commenting to them, I told you. And over there was Slewfoot. And he said, would you like to go back about a year ago? Did not I tell you there was not a man like him in all the earth? You tried to turn him against me. Look at all that you've done. And look at him now. He stands there in my stead. Do you see who Job is portraying? Christ. Job was standing there as the Lord Jesus, and these three men were us, Brother Greg. We were our friends of our Lord, but look what we done to him. Look how we lied. Look how we betrayed him. Look at all that we had done. Job was portraying the Lord Jesus. But no matter how much he could pray, he had to have the power of forgiveness.
to release the power of prayer. Look how it can hinge that the power of forgiveness ties to the power of prayer. He has the ability now to stand there before God. If he don't pray, these men will perish. God's done made the decree. He cannot take it back. Oh, well, Job, and then Job, my second choice would be Bildad, and then that's my third choice. If Job don't do it, it can't be done. If Christ didn't do it, we couldn't be bought. So here's a profound thing. What is it? The breach. This breach, their difference was so, so hard between him. But here Job stands up and something overwhelms him in the breach. The Spirit of Christ. God is fixing to show Job mercy. But Job must show mercy first. Notice this, Brother Bram says, if you want to be a blessing and get a blessing, when a man has done you wrong, absolutely just, I mean he has done you wrong, and you know he's done you wrong. He's done you evil. Now, he's not just done you wrong, but he's done you evil. Don't mention that. Whoa. Does that mean on Facebook too? Friends, I'll tell you one thing. I want my face to count before God, not Facebook. I want God to accept Donnie Reagan. You better hope he does. You better hope God accepts Donnie Reagan and these preachers. If he don't, you're going to hell. You're putting your confidence in me as your pastor and these other men to tell you the truth. You better hope I'm a righteous man living before God and God will accept my prayers. Is this true? I don't want to just stand up and be a theologian and be able to preach and talk a bunch of things. When I go before God, I want God to say, I will accept Donnie. I accept him. Is that the way you want to feel? You want God to accept you? Sure you do as a Christian. Oh my, Brother Bram said, don't mention that. You take him to prayer before God. Now watch this. And don't take it in a way of just a selfish way and say, well, I'm supposed to do this. But stand with your shoulder to his shoulder and stand in the presence of God. Okay, so I'm supposed to come up to the throne of God and I'm supposed to bring this brother, this sister, this person who has done me wrong. I mean evil. They have done me evil. And I'm supposed to stand with them shoulder to shoulder. They don't even like me. Why do I want to pray with them? Why should I want to spend my precious prayer time mentioning the name of people who hate me? Because I need mercy. You just sung about it before I come out. Mercy rewrote my life. Well, how does it rewrite? This is one of the ways it does. I need mercy every day of my life, Brother Scott. And in order to get mercy, I've got to be merciful. Now watch, Brother Ben says, stand shoulder to shoulder. Stand in the presence of God our Father. The way a prayer should be made in the presence of God. Say, Father, here's my brother. He justly deserves punishment because he has done me evil. Which of course is the greatest sin that can be done by anybody when they trespass us. I mean, because after all, ain't we God's best kid on the earth? Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. That's why you get in arguments with your wife when she crosses you. Or with your husband when he crosses you. Who are you to dare cross me? Come on, children. If we didn't all feel that way, we wouldn't argue with nobody. When they hurt our feelings, we wouldn't even care. People tell me all the time, oh, I ain't nothing. They don't believe that, and I don't either. If you really thought that about yourself, you wouldn't get mad when people don't speak to you. You wouldn't get mad at me because I don't shake your hands one every 6 months. If you thought that about yourself, it wouldn't even matter to you, but you don't. So just be honest and quit lying. You love yourself. You know you do. You love things about you. You love your feelings. You love this, that, and the other. And when folks cross you, we just don't like it. Well, praise the Lord. Ouch, oh me, oh God help us, but amen.
Now, Lord, he deserves punishment. Most of us can pray that way. Because he has done me evil. And I don't see why he did it. Well, I'm just about the best little youngin' you got. Why in the world would anybody want to cross me? I just don't understand it. Now, you've said your piece. Listen to the next paragraph. Then let God go to talking to you. This is a part of prayer. But of course, if you're... God can't even get a word in it. God, and you go around the room. Say your peace and let God go to talking to you. And you'll see maybe what that man's been through. So here you are. You're going before the Father God. You're so burdened. So-and-so done this and so-and-so done that, God. And they deserve to be punished and let me be the one to do it, God. They deserve all kinds of things. And then you, okay, now I'm going to let you talk, Lord, because I know you're going to agree with me. And then you give God a little time and God goes to telling you, did you know that he just lost his job? Do you know anything about his childhood? So here you've come to God in prayer and you're wanting God's sympathy. But instead, God's taken up for the guy that run you down. Boy, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. Now, how do you treat your friends when they do that? Okay, say somebody in here in the parking lot says something to you, somebody in church says something to you. Boy, it just runs all of you. It makes you mad. So you go to your best friend and say, you can't believe. You cannot believe. And I done so-and-so. And then your best friend said, did you know so-and-so? And it seems as if told you, they're taking up for them instead of you. And they're supposed to be your best friend. I can't believe. I was going to ask you after Taco Bell, but no more. I'll eat my own stinking tacos. You're taking sides with them. Children, don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. You know why that bothers us? Because we love ourselves so much. We're stuck on us. So here I'm the one that's right with God. And this person has done awful to me. Now I'm supposed to go to God in prayer, and I've got to go with the right attitude if I'm going to get anything. And I go and I take them with me to prayer. And I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying sincere. All of a sudden, I move into that channel, and then I stop, and I let him talk. And he goes to taking it for my enemy. Now, depending on my attitude and how long I'll stay, if I'm not careful, I'll get mad at God. And I'll get an attitude. Well, if that's the way you're going to be, I'll see you later. But listen to this, Job. Mama, let God go to talking to you and you'll see maybe what that man's been through. The devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. Though he's absolutely wrong. Before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man, which is a miracle. Because you came to the throne of God feeling sorry for yourself. If I didn't know better, I would think I was the only one in the building tonight guilty of this. But since I know you all better than that. You mean I go to God, I'm feeling so sorry for myself. God, I don't understand what in the world. And when God gets done with me, I am now feeling so sorry for that person. I'm praying God won't punish him. I'm praying God will open their eyes. I'm praying God will be merciful. Amen. Feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. Think about it. Look at the power of prayer. You went to the throne of God to empty out your petition, and boy, you knew his house was going to be burned up by the time you got up. He was going to be found in the lake, run off the bridge the next day. He died some great, horrific, mysterious death. All 14 of his young'uns choked to death on spaghetti. My, his wife got caught up in the washing machine, and she twisted her arm off, then she fell over into the garbage disposal, and her fingers got chewed off, and then she fell off the back porch, and a pit bull ate her up. All kinds of stuff to vindicate who you are. Why do we think we have to be so vindicated by God destroying people for our sakes?
It's amazing, if you have a car wreck going home, you're being so tested and tried. But if one of the brothers has a car wreck going home who had a sharp word with you, won't you? God's getting them back. If you could start letting the insurance companies know which one's God and the devil, they'd probably give you a premium. They'd know which one's to insure and which one's not. Now watch the power of prayer. There you are before the throne of God. You've come, you're offended, you're hurt. But while you're praying, something is changing. It's not so much the other individual. Brother Ben Norton said this other person's even any different. The change has been you. So the power of your prayer has actually changed you. Watch, Brother Ben said, you'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you get back down to earth again. Oh, you mean you've been somewhere? Back down to earth. Oh, I love to get up there, don't you? I love to get along with him, and he carries me up in heavenly places. Oh my. You get back down to earth again, and you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand, cause you know what he's been through. How in the world do you know what he's been through? Cause you spent 45 minutes in prayer with God, and God was telling you. You know what he's been through. You can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody. I don't believe. No, sir. If he's a rank sinner. What about a brother that has made a mistake? Though I say he's wrong, and sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not wrong. But if he's wrong, well, or if we take him to the throne of God and stand there shoulder to shoulder with our brother, knowing he's immortal. This is what Job done. Job went before the throne of God, and something changed in Job. And Job was able to release forgiveness. Not hard feelings. No, they done me wrong. They never paid me. They never done this and that and the other. But Job said, that don't matter. That don't matter. It may be the destiny of these brothers. Lays in my hands. Friends, can you comprehend this? The destiny of these three men lays in the hands of Job. You said that's taking it a bit too far. Well, let's just see if it is. Brother Bam said, knowing he's immortal, maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. Not on the cross. Not on the blood. Not on the preacher. What if somebody's destination who's left this message, or some sinner out here that's never heard it, or some Baptist or whatever, what if their destination rests on our attitude? Not our cussing, not our smoking, not our drinking or running around, or not even our shouting or jumping or our ability to quote, but our attitude towards him. When we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize we're everyone guilty. And we all need help from one the other. And the best way to do is pray. So what happens to me and you? Very same thing that happened to Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Donnie. The Lord turned the captivity of Terry. Or the captivity of Joy or Linda or Carol or whoever it is. The Lord, amen. The Lord finished this trial when you stood there as the Son of God, representing the Son of God. Amen. Notice this, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. But it's hinging on his forgiveness. God is going to give him twice as much camels, twice as many she-asses, twice as much property, twice as many houses. But it's not just based upon the blessing of God alone. It's based upon forgiveness. The deepest afflictions, friends, if we could only hold this in our hearts, the deepest afflictions are nothing but seed time. Seed time to a joyful harvest. Your trials, your tests, it's God allowing seeds to be sown in the valleys where the seeds are sown. But if you'll be patient, you watch God bring out of that trial and see what he'll do. Oh, hallelujah. Notice David in Psalms 32:6 said, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto them." Verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place." Notice the power of prayer. "Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." Selah. Psalms 141 verse 1, a psalm of David. "Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." Can you imagine? This is before the shed blood. But David has broken into an understanding to know. Now the incense was offered upon the altar of incense every morning and every afternoon at 3 o'clock. And David now realizes that a man can enter into a place with God to where his prayers, his petition will become transferred and transformed as if it were the incense coming off of the altar of incense in the tabernacle. So David says, "Let my prayer be set forth as incense." Notice this. "And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." David, are you kidding? Do you really think you have that kind of favor with God? That God will look at you and hear your prayers and receive them as the incense? And while you're down praying, you will raise your hands and God will receive that as if it were the 3 o'clock offering in the evening time? Oh my. Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, "When he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." Now listen to me, children. Can you imagine in our own mind, we think, "My, why should I even pray? I don't even know how to pray." Don't you never say that. Talk to your Father. Talk to your Father like he is your Father. God, don't talk to him like a judge. Don't address God as a magistrate. Don't address God as some mean emperor, some dictator that does not care for you. What did Jesus say? "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Look how Jesus starts it out. "Our Father which art in heaven." Do you understand? There is not one writer in all of the Old Testament that ever used those two words together. Why? They could not. David never said it. Isaiah never said it. Jeremiah never said it. None of them ever said "our Father" as far as on an individual basis. But what a privilege you and I have tonight that we can call him our Father. Revelation 8:3, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that it should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne of God." You mean God receives prayers like this? They're that precious. They're so precious
that God has angels standing there with vials to put the incense on them. Revelation 8:4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up from before God out of the angel's hand. You mean, Brother Donnie, when I'm saying, Lord, I love you. God, you see my daughter. Lord, God, you see my son. Father, you know this need we have. Father, you know, brother, is it okay with God, Brother Donnie, if I mention those things? Sure it is. Look at Jesus when he prayed, give us this day our daily bread. But look at the order. He didn't ask for the bread first. What was he? Approaching in worship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Put the kingdom of God first. Not I want, me and I want, I want. Why? We pray selfishly because we are selfish. Amen. We don't think about him and hallowing his name and honoring his character. Oh my! But think, friends, it ain't no wonder Satan wants to try to tell us God don't hear our prayers and our prayers don't go anywhere. You think if the devil, every time you get down to pray, it'd make the devil scared and tremble. What would you want to do? You'd want to stop people from scaring you. So talk them out of praying. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. I wonder how many things there are in the universe that God delights in. God don't delight in food and drink. God don't watch movies. And God don't delight in the things that we delight in. But here's one of the things that Scripture says that God delights in. The prayers of the saints. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Matthew 21:22, the Lord Jesus speaking, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Watch Paul now in 1 Timothy 4:3, speaking of the last days, they'll forbid to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Look at the power of prayer. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I'll tell you one thing, friends. If we ever need any sanctifying going on in our food, we need it in the day we're living in. Everywhere you look, they got hybrid stuff this and GMO there and HMO and all kinds of MOs and ONOs and nanotenos. What in the world we're putting in this mouth? We better pray over it. I said we better pray over it. There ain't hardly nothing we eat no more that's original, but that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a promise of the Word of God that says it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. You better pray over that sandwich. It may kill you if you don't. The power of prayer. Let me go take 5 more minutes. James 5:15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual put forth power to work for one. The word effectual. To effect. To display one's activity. Show oneself operative. The word signifies wrought by the energy of the Spirit. The word properly refers to that which has power, which in its own nature is fitted to produce an effect. So the effectual prayer of a righteous man, not the prayer of any man, and not the prayer, not every prayer of a righteous man. It's not every prayer you pray. And it's not every man that prays. You have to have the combination right. Let me close with this and we'll pick it up. Brother Eric, jump a few pages and let's go down here to the brain and the power prayer connection. Dr. Newberg, a neuroscientist scanning the brains of religious people to discover the connection between prayer and brain activity. In one particular study, it was shown that the frontal lobes lit up on the screen when the subject was in meditational prayer. What was even more fascinating was the parietal lobes went dark. This is an area that normally takes our sensory information and tries to create for us a sense of ourselves and orient that self in the world. Newberg explains when people lose their sense of self, a blurring of the boundary between self and others. Notice what happens. When you get into meditational prayer, meditatorial prayer, something about yourself, that part of your brain, which is constantly focusing on you and orienting you in the world, it begins to become blurry. And the separation between you and that man that offended you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It also means the more you focus on something. Now, listen to this. People losing their self. A blurring of the boundary between self and others that we found decreases that activity in that area. It also means the more you focus on something, whether that's math, auto racing, or football, or God, the more that becomes your reality. And the more it becomes written in the neural connections of your brain. Be careful what you let your kids feed on all the time. Let me hurry, my 5 minutes is running out. Prayer releases dopamine. If this dope head generation ever needed help, don't you see what they need? They need dopamine. Which can't come from Walgreens. Notice what happens to you when you really get along with God and get into prayer. Prayer releases dopamine. A chemical in the brain that is responsible for relaxation and feelings of elation. Dopamine is a big stress fighter. Whoa. And not only can help students get through the stress of exam week, but people who pray were shown to have less illnesses caused by prolonged stress. Wow. So it not only moves supernaturally, but while you're there in prayer, your brain is releasing this dopamine. You say, oh, glory. No, it ain't your Loris Ab. It's prayer. Friends, don't you see? We were made to feel this way. Don't you see why people get addicted to pain medicine? Don't you see why they get addicted to these feelings? You were made to feel this way. You were made to pray. You were made to get alone with God, and actually God would allow your body to release these feel-good things in your brain. And you'd come out smiling. Your wife said, what's wrong with you? Where have you been? To the throne of God. Have you took your pain pills? No, and I don't think I'm going to need them either. I got dopamine. You're a dopehead? Oh, no. Lord Jesus. Let's stand. Watch this. Let me skip down, Brother Eric, down to the next paragraph. We'll pick this up, Lord willing, next Wednesday. It's too good to skip. This means that the person in prayer can easily lose track of time itself over time and develop selflessness due to the continual reshaping of the brain through concentrated prayer. So when you pray, God actually made it to where your brain would reshape and you would lose the thought of how big you are, how important you are. Dr. Newberg in further study found that those who made prayer a daily activity had faster reactions in their frontal and parietal lobes than those who prayed less or not at all. Prayer warriors had sharpened those lobes of their brains and were more likely to use those areas of the brain unconsciously. We're moving into bride material. Clinical studies have demonstrated that people who pray are less likely to get sick, better able to cope mentally and emotionally with their illness. So if they do get sick, they're better off if they pray. More likely to recover from surgery. More likely to recover from illness. Also, evidence exists for the power of prayer to maintain and improve the function of the immune system. So the devil don't want you to stop praying just for fellowship. He wants you to stop praying for health benefits. Man, this outdoes Obamacare 100,000 billion trillion to one. Blue Cross and Blue Shield can't touch this. Amen. I mean, there ain't an insurance nowhere, brother, that can touch this. Don't read no more, Donnie. No. The power of prayer. So it changes your soul, changes your spirit, and the lobes in your brain actually change to where you unconsciously, you learn how to tap into a part of you that was shaped by prayer. So the more you pray and the more you pray, your brain is reshaped. And you can enter into a state of selflessness instead of selfish. And selfishness. Selflessness. Don't forget the family prayer. Jesus wants to meet you there. Think of it, friends. What are we giving up when we don't pray? Whose destiny might go unchanged because you never prayed? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Power of prayer. How He delights in hearing the prayers of His children. God delights and the devil trembles. What a combination. You talking about the power of prayer. When a real saint of God prays, it affects heaven. It affects hell. It affects your emotions. It affects your brain. It releases dopamine. It does all kinds of things. The power of prayer. It reshapes your brain through the power of prayer. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for not praying like we should. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us to realize the value and the power of prayer. Lord, we know it's not necessarily how loud we pray. It's not even how loud we scream. Well, the prophet said, demons, if you have the authority to cast them out, they recognize that authority. He said, it's not how loud you scream at them. Because you can scream and anoint somebody with oil. But if they don't recognize you have the authority to make them leave, they'll stay right there. So help us, I pray, Lord. May we, as your children, begin to pray more. More fervently. More sincere. You yourself showed us the degrees by which intent prayer can change. When you were in the Garden of Gethsemane and you prayed and then you come to talk to your disciples and then you went back again and the scripture said you prayed more earnestly. Ma, hear the Son of God. That you entered into a deeper stage of desperation. Thank you that that was written, Lord. Help us, Father. There's times that we pray, but we need to move into a deeper state, more earnestly, more intent. I'm sure, Lord, that for most of us, we don't pray long enough, fervently enough, and earnestly enough, to where we begin to reshape our brain. And we lose the sense of selflessness. We go to prayer selfishly. We pray selfishly. We leave selfishly. And our brains have not been reshaped. Our hearts have not been changed. And we still feel bitterness in our heart against people. But help us, Lord, to see
the power of prayer is not just to change the other man. It's to change us. You told us to pray for our enemies and told us to pray for other people. But you didn't tell us that you would always answer our prayers and change them. Because much of our prayers for others has to do with our willingness to receive it. We know that. So help us to see when we're praying for others, it's not just the good that it might do for them. It's the good it's doing for us. It'll get rid of our attitude and we lose selflessness. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Release to us, I pray, Father, the understanding of the power of prayer. And help us, Lord, that we start getting into the habit of going to prayer and not asking for anything. Not asking for money, for healing. But just spend that time in fellowship and worship. And that intimate time with you, Lord. Help us to refocus on what prayer is all about. Not our wish list. Oh, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Let's raise our hands tonight, can we, in His presence. I trust this has helped you tonight.
Amen.
The power of prayer. The power of prayer. It can change you. It can change someone else. You imagine Isaiah the prophet. He's delivered the word of God. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall. Begins to pray. He said, God, I need some more time. I need 15 years. Isaiah's done walked out of the inner place there where the king is. He's outside the gate, outside the doorways rather, going out to the courtyard. The Spirit of God speaks to him and tells him to go back. He said, Lord, I've done told him what you said. He said, but he's touched me. Go back in and take a lump of figs and put on that boil and tell him, thus saith the Lord. He's going to live. But Lord, I just told him a few minutes ago, thus saith the Lord, he's going to die. But his prayer changed things. Realize Brother Branham said that many times people would come up in the prayer line and he'd see the shadow of death hanging over him. And he said, but sometimes he wouldn't have time to spend enough time to pray with them. And he said, but it might be they could approach God and promise God something and God would move it away from them. Remember the woman that walked up in South Africa and he told her, said, sister, prepare to die. She said, I just got an exam from the doctor. Everything is fine. He said, prepare to die. You're going to die soon. She walked off the platform, went back and sat down, died right there in the pew. We want to be ready, don't we? We want to be ready. How many wants to be a better prayer warrior? Oh, my. Lord, bless you, children. May God help us through the power of prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Let's just worship Him just a little bit before we go. Maybe we can sing together, hey, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Think of it, friends. God has given to you the most powerful weapon that has ever been known to mankind. More powerful than an atomic bomb. Than a hydrogen bomb. You sisters have got it. You young people have got it. Not just the preachers. Not just the deacons. To every saint of God. Has been committed this weapon. Amen. And it is not only a weapon. But it is your channel of heart communication with God. Sometimes you use it against your enemy. Sometimes you use it as prayer notes between you and God. Love letters. Father, I love you. I worship you. I just come to tell you how much I care, Lord Jesus. I didn't come to ask you for anything on this prayer, Lord. I just want to let you know how much I love you. Our Father.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice there's 7 petitions in this model prayer. The first ones we just sung were all about Him. But here it changes. Give us this day. Monthly, yearly. So if I'm asking for daily bread, He wants me to pray every day for more daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. Look at Job now. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for His will. Then you ask for your needs. Then what do you do? Then you acknowledge. Then you worship. Then you adore. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. To God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for teaching us how to pray. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed. Let's just raise our hands and worship Him just before we go. I know you kids have got school and you got to work. But let's just give Him just a few more minutes. Praise be to God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. We bless Your name. We bless, we exalt, we worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallowed. Hallowed. Sacred. Set apart. Hallowed be thy name. Yes, Lord Jesus. The more I seek you, Lord, the more I seek you, the more I find you. And the more I find you,
the more I love you. Let's sing it just as our last chorus as we prepare to go. The more I seek you, dear Lord, the more I find more I find you, Lord, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink of the cup your hand, lay back against you, feel your heartbeat. Oh, love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. Lord Jesus, it's overwhelming. Listen, friend, this is not just bringing your list to God. This is fellowship. This is worship. Listen to the words of this song. Listen to what's going on. This person is leaning over against God's breast. They're so close to Him, they can hear His heartbeat. Them and God are drinking from the same cup. They're not doing all the talking. They're not doing all the everything that's going on. Listen to the words again.
The more I find, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you, the more I find you. More than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. And the more love is so deep. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's so it's more than I can understand.
Lord Jesus,
I rest,
we rest in your
peace. It's over.
Amen, Lord. Hallelujah.
I want to sit at your feet. Drink from this cup in your hand. Lay back against you.
Thank you, my Father.
Feel
oh,
your heart.
Have that fellowship, Lord God. That communion.
This love is so deep.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
It's more than I can
understand. Thank you, my Father.
I rest in your peace. It's so overwhelming.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we worship you, God. Oh, we worship you, God. Thank you, Lord. He walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Let's just sing this as we get ready to go. I come to the garden alone, while the tomb is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my the Son of God is glorious. Everybody now. And he walks. Think of it. Right with you. He walks with you. And he talks with you. And what does he tell you? Oh, he tells you. Listen to fellowship and the joy we share as we tarry there. None of earth has ever known. Listen now, he speaks. The sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. And the melody my Jesus gave bless you, saints.
go in the fear of God. I'll see you this weekend, Lord willing. May God be with you.
And Jesus tells me I. The joy.